That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning, Remnant. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. We're coming to you live from a beautiful morning here at the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. Blue skies. The grass is still green. We're in a drought, but it's still a little green around here. Beautiful sunrise this morning. We welcome you. We thank you for joining us. And Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Paul, thank you for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you as well. Thank you for joining us. The phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And we'd be glad to take your call. Lots going on. But we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, we'd ask if you would do that for us this morning.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We ask that you lead us, guide us, direct us in the direction that we're to go. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins, known and unknown. And Lord, as we're dealing and in difficult times, Father, we just ask, Father, for your assistance, your guidance, your direction. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And again, Remnant, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Be glad to take your call. Where to start? I'll put out, I don't know if anybody had something they wanted to start with. I've got a few things, but I'll sure yield to somebody else firing it up first if you want.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, Psalms 37:19. If we start with a scripture, I think that's always a good one. It's hard to go bad there. It really is. But Psalms 37:19 says, "They will not be ashamed in the time of evil. And in the days of famine, they will have abundance." And I hope that's an encouragement for the remnant to remember that for those that seek to live righteously, for those that not just that want to, but that do, for those that are doers of the word, that, as it says here, they will not be ashamed in the time of evil. Well, the time that we're in today, just as you pray, Jason, tough times. It's evil times, perilous times, trying times, as the Bible says. But it is all those things. But the Word tells us that they, and that they is not the enemy they. That is they that love God, that serve God, that do their best to obey the Word, that understand obedience, and are doing their best to follow it, that they will not be ashamed in the time of evil, that they can know that, well, if you've repented, if there is no unrepentant sin between you and God, that's the only thing that can come between us and our God. And because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, giving us the opportunity to be forgiven, then we can walk in these days of evil. We can flourish in these perilous times. We can thrive and not just survive. And that's what that term, not be ashamed, means. It means that we will get by in these times. And then it says, in the days of famine, they will have abundance. Not that they will squeak by, but they will have abundance. And as hard as it may be to fathom, I think it is, again, like the days of Noah. The people had never seen rain. They didn't know what rain was until it happened. And I think that it's similar today, that the majority of people in America, you try to talk to them about famine, what are you talking about? We got more food. My grocery store never runs out. There's four Costcos within, an hour's drive of here, is the mentality. But when you look through the scriptures, famines come. That is one of the tools, one of the things that our God has used throughout our history to bring his people, to punish them, and to get them to return to him. And when you look through the headlines, that word, food shortages and food insecurity and worldwide famine, you see that more and more. But it's for those that don't trust him that it may come upon all of us, like the word says, it rains on the just and the unjust. But in the days of famine, somebody's going to have an abundance. And it's not those ungodly, those that mock God, that do not obey him, that have not repented. It's not those that they think they're going to have abundance, but it's not going to be them that do. And we're starting to see the handwriting on the wall. But we have to remember to stay with the Word. We stay with the Word, and the Word saves. So that's what I wanted to start with this morning.
We have somebody else? Or was that Josh, or is that Tim?
It's Tim. Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I was running behind.
Morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I don't think that we've even seen the beginning of what's going to happen with this with these sanctions with Russia. Right now, this morning, I just read a news article that says U.S. won't be able to replace Russian uranium, and they're talking about they before the United States was buying its uranium from Russia, now they're not buying it from them, and they can't replace it. And then let's talk about we're having the famine is has begun as far as food shortages, but energy shortages are another thing. You know, and you, I mean, you think about how many nuclear power plants and stuff that we've set up over here across the United States, and you know, with we don't have an abundant supply of uranium. I mean, it's you know, it's energy is another way of, when there's a shortage of that, there's another form of a famine. And Tim, I know you know a lot more about that than I do. What do you see happening on that front?
As far as the energy issues go, why, we're definitely very short on that. I mean, it's we've become a nation of consumers and not producers. And the sad thing is I think that it's actually the fruit of the locusts coming in. You know, the locusts consume everything and they don't produce anything. And I think the fallout of that is as we continue to have more and more locusts come to live here or come to exist here or develop here. Like, you know, I was thinking it was funny in California. My computer is down, so all my notes are gone. So bear with me if I get something a little messed up. Forgive me. I probably don't. I'm running off memory. But California just had as an example, you know, they're converting everybody to electric everything. They want no more weed eaters that are gas powered, no more lawnmowers that are gas powered, of course, no more vehicles that are gas powered by an upcoming date soon in our future. I mean, and so Californians are buying more and more electric cars as a result of it. And just this last week, Pacific Gas and Electric came out and said, okay, here's the deal. If we're installing a charging station in your garage for your car or in your residential home, why, you can't have central air, too. You can't have an air conditioner. I mean, no central air in your home. You have your choice. You either have central air or you have a car charging station in your home, because we don't have enough grid capacity as it stands right now to carry everything. We're doing rolling brownouts and blackouts just to keep everything up and running. And, you know, so, and there's something odd there too, because if you're in the power generation industry, a rolling blackout, when you black out an area and shut it down, it takes twice as much energy to restart that area. The surge to make things run is tremendous. It can be upwards of 400 or 500% of your line load, you know, just to start that section of grid that you've blacked out. So I don't, you know, there's just all kinds of things here that are, whether this is a manufactured problem or whether this is a result of all the stupidity or both, you know, we're seeing tremendous shortages, and they talk about the grid being updated and being, they need to update the grid, and there's all these issues with supply. And I think what we're really seeing there is yes, there are weaknesses in areas in our grid that are defective or dated, but the stuff that they're trying to replace it with is worse junk than what they're taking out. I mean, example is smart meters. You know, they cause fires, they don't work, they're inaccurate, they're not safe in any way. They put off RF frequencies. Convenience does not equal quality. And we're living in a world that's just, it's gone mad. I mean, it's like a bunch of lemmings running off the cliff. Well, how would you describe in any way that is a sane reaction to anything? It is madness. And that's what happens without God as a guide post, as a focal point, is madness runs wild. And I think we're seeing that all around us. So
absolutely to that we are. Well, Tim, let's go to the phone lines. We've got a caller from South Dakota. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard, Jason, Josh, and all of the government. The opportunity to speak this morning. This is a subject that actually ties a lot of things together. But what comes to my mind is this. People have been conformed to what they've been lied to, and when a lie is said so many times, they believe it to be true. And at the time of Constantine, with the church wars, things led to people believing that they're going to God's church. Well, they're really going to the church of Antichrist and the church of Baal, and they're trusting what they hear and don't even have time to pray and read their Bible because they're too busy making brick without straw, and that's why they don't know that we're actually in the times that we're in, and they think they're Christians. Am I making sense there?
Absolutely. I think we would agree with you that and we saw, I think all of us saw a change in that very thing when an unplanned change when this pandemic got kicked in. When churches, the big mega churches and so many of them got shut down and the people stopped going, there were some people that, well, started reading their Bible, and maybe just a couple of them started getting together and talking about things without that learned 501c3 preacher spewing those lies that and I think we all saw some people come out of that stupor. And that was a good thing. That was a good thing from a lot of these so-called churches shutting down, is that there were some people that got woke up, and that was a good thing. But telling them a lie on and on again, where do you even start with that as far as scripture? You know, raise your hand, just say the sinner's prayer, and you are covered, brother. That's it. And then do whatever you want to do. They have not. And I like your point, too. The people are so busy gathering straw, making bricks. We are there once again. There is anything and everything to do except worship God. You can blame Mother Nature for the fires. And Mother Nature must be mad to bring these floods, we hear. And, nobody's got time to gather with the remnant and read the word and learn from the word. Nope, they're fishing or working or on the four wheel or doing something on Sundays instead of gathering with the remnant. It's a busy time. It is.
Well, yeah. And that's something that I'm doing more so by actions than I am by words. Is number one, when I go to my employer, I do not say I'm going to work. While I've been bewildered about many people that say that they're actually doing their Sabbath because they only schedule their employment 5 to 6 days a week, but on their day off, they're mowing the lawn, they're doing maintenance on their car. That's still work, you know?
Yeah, it's
Where's your weekly Sabbath at? I realize that there are basically three Sabbaths, but the one I'm concentrating on is your weekly Sabbath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're led to do that because they believe and they're taught by the prophets of Baal that Babylon was shut down and we're a free country. No, Babylon is the whole world because of Nimrod, and they won't teach about Nimrod.
Absolutely.
I rest with that. I'll let y'all talk on that some more.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for the call. You have a great weekend. Yeah, it is that once again, that Babylonian captivity that we've been in before. And, Pastor talked about it for 30 years. The Babylonian, the Egyptian type captivity that God's people find themselves in once again, and more people are waking up to that it is. You know, that's one of the reasons I think that we see the, like you had mentioned, Tim, the folly of just for example, the electric cars in California. I think it was, I think they passed a deal, I think Newsom did, that by 2035, no gas-powered vehicles can be sold in California, only electric. And, you know, it might sound good from the start, but like you said, the power company says, hello, wait a minute, you can have a charger, but you can't have air. You know, what's going to be next? You can have a charger, but you can't have a an electric oven. Don't they usually run on 220? You know, I remember growing up, we had a out in back in Dad's shop, we had a had a welder, and it runs on 220. It was a bigger welder, and he had an air compressor, and it ran on 220. And you could run one or the other, and we understood that. You know, there was only so much. It was out back in Dad's shop, but you either ran, if you were running the air compressor, you couldn't run the welder at the same time. And that was just the way it was. There was only so much power, so much electricity. And it's like that. Like you talk about those rolling blackouts, we've already seen those with the existing grid. In California, and what was it, just a few winters ago in the Midwest and the Southwest and Texas and places that had the big rolling blackouts, and you see them up the East Coast all the time. You hear about them. And that's without 100,000 new electric vehicles. People don't seem to realize that the batteries in these vehicles, all they do is store power. You charge the batteries up, and, you know, they run for a little while. And then you have to charge them again. And that's the same, you know, that electricity has to come from somewhere. It's not, you know, pixie dust and unicorn, you know what, that these things run on. They think it is. But that's that lemmings, like you said, that just, you know, it makes no sense. If you read back to just the recent history in less than 100 years ago about how things were in the Soviet Union and what the communists demanded, it'll remind you that, oh, we will do this. And it's just impossible to do. It's not feasible. And that's how this insanity that we see out of California, and I think there's five or six other states that are following suit, you know, all electric vehicles. The power grid simply will not support that. That's the bottom line. It won't. It just won't. Anyway.
Well, and Europe's even having the problems without the electric vehicle problem. It says rolling blackouts have begun in Kosovo because the country cannot find enough supply of natural gas to keep power plants running at full capacity. Other European countries, from the UK to Bulgaria, are also developing plans to cut off electricity. Yes. The reason these countries imposed economic sanctions upon Russia over its special military operations into Ukraine, and as a result of their own sanctions, these countries now refuse to buy Russian oil and natural gas.
Yeah, and it's, at least in the northern hemisphere, it's still summer, right? It's still summer. So it's just an inconvenience right now. You know, when the lights go out right now, and it's, you know, in a moderate time of the year, dang, the lights are out, the power's out. When that happens in the wintertime, when they have those rolling blackouts in the wintertime, and there's no heat, that's a whole different ball game. And it's a type, I think, one of you mentioned earlier, Jason, maybe you did, that energy, it's a type of famine for that energy. Famine for natural gas, and famine when it's not there. When it's not there. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. You know, God says in Jeremiah 8:13, what I have given them will pass away. I will surely snatch it away, declares the Lord. And, you know, the blessings of energy, of being able to have natural gas and coal, and and nuclear and all these, you know, they're blessings from God. And he's given it. He can sure take it away. Well, Paul, how do you see things up there in the growing, your growing part of the country? How are things going up there?
Well, I think it's spiraling down pretty doggone fast, but people are aware something's going on. They don't know why. In fact, I seen a headline in South Africa. They have mold storms right now, and they said the Earth is mad. Well, who created the Earth? Yes, he is mad. But, yeah, you know, we all know that it's very hollow what's going on, and it's really on self-destruct. The things that go, you know, they're attacking Trump and stuff like that. They're just fighting for their life to destroy him. I don't know if I'm a Trump fan or not, but he sounds more right than the rest. But anyway, there's a war going on before our very eyes, and righteous against evil. Way back when, who got in trouble? That Colson wrote a book, Kingdoms in Conflict, and that's what's been going on even way back then, or forever, for that matter. So, I don't know. Price of gas is coming down. They said they got a $100 raise for a family now because the gas dropped. You know, they dragged it to $5.19. Now it's back to $3.64 or something like that.
Yeah.
So everybody got a $100 raise.
Yeah, still triple what it was 2.5 years ago. But they don't want to bring any attention to that.
Well, it's funny how they tell you, oh, yeah, I just got a raise because we ain't screwing you so bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Babylon's falling. I've been waiting for it for a long time. It makes you look in the mirror and adjust your own thoughts, too, because, that what you read, you know, I've stood on that verse for a long time. It'll be plenty of food for those that believe. So he has a way of taking care of his own. There's a lot of people that aren't his. Give him lip service, but they don't really obey him. So, other than that, it's just fine.
Amen. Amen.
All things are proceeding according to plan. Not their plan, but
but his plan.
The plan.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it. Boy, we see that. Those that have eyes to see, you see the things that the enemy does that in the past they would just be, you know, they would just be praised and, oh, it'd be the greatest thing, and they're falling flat. They're having the opposite effect of what they want. You know, this more recent, this O'Biden with the college debt loan forgiveness, you know, people time and time again are coming out and from different walks of life, different avenues, and just saying, he's just buying votes. He's just buying votes. You know, the left, the ungodly, they certainly are wanting to just put more burden and more taxes on the people, and that's what this does. But they think when they put that out that it's going to do that, that it's going to buy more votes, that it's going to make them look like the savior in so many people's eyes. But it's falling flat. The opposition against it is roaring, and it seems like that it is bringing more, again, more opposition and more problems than what they expected. And you know, we saw that in this most recent election that came up, what, last week? We certainly saw that around, that you had people that had been in comfortable political positions with seemingly no opposition till just recently. And many of them were replaced. The way that they went about that, it just seemed to be opposite, you know, that, hey, this worked in the past, let's do it again, and it didn't. It didn't. So anyway, it's encouraging to see you know, what's going on. It is. You know, Isaiah 5:13 talks about people being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 says the same thing. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And, you know, there's a few that are waking up and that are starting to have a little more of that knowledge, a little more of that, like was said, the lie told over and over and over and over. You know, people are, some people anyway, are starting to see that it is a lie. That the truth is out there if they care to look for it and step away from the lies that are just told and pushed. Just like the electric vehicles. Oh, we got to go electric vehicles to clean up the environment. If you look into those, they're not cleaner for the environment. They're just not.
Well, that energy's got to be produced some way, you know.
Yes.
Go ahead, Paul.
The law of God is written in people's hearts, and when they come back to when things ain't going that they planted, they will go back to God. It happens all the time, you know, unless you're of a sort of Satan that just infuriates them. But our people, even though we're gone astray, they have the law written in their heart, and they know right from wrong. They just got to start cultivating it. You know, like the lady said, yeah, we work and work and work. Well, the Bible says be still and know that Lord. You see, men have a tendency to hide and work. Well, I'm busy. You know, well, you've got time forever that you think is important. And maybe it's time to get you not work so hard. I heard a story the other day where they're getting $300 a week for child care per child. Now, who can afford that? Only the extremely wealth, but see, there's a real remedy to that. Do without and stay home. We don't need all the toys that we have. We maybe have to practice, you know, canning and some good old-fashioned survival food, you know. I mean, my mother canned everything, you know, and we had to go downstairs and get some whatever, canned meat, fruit, you name it, we had it. And that I didn't need a microwave or nothing. You could just heat it up a little bit if you wanted to, but it's a whole different way of life, and that's doable because it's going to be impossible to stay in the system the way it is. You know, people think money fixes everything, and it's a common undertow in everybody's mind, actually. But I'll tell you what fixes things better is lack of money and lack of food. That brings you to your knees. So God has a way of doing things.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Well, and I think that it occurred to me the other day when I was thinking about it that I was watching all this unrest, and it's like it's so factionated all across there. You know, you've got the transgenders, and you've got the greenies, and you've got the, and I guess it's always been that way to a certain degree. But it occurred to me as I was looking at it, I was like, some of these people are just plain stupid. I don't know any other word. Their mind has been stupefied, you know, and you can't talk reason to them. You can't talk facts or logistics or sensibilities to them. They just want it that way because that's how they feel. And it occurs to me that they have been de-educated or stupefied to the point that even the sons of hell who were doing it and trying to put them into this spell so they could lead them wherever they wanted to and do whatever. They can't even lead them. You know what I mean? it's like, and then you have the group out there who turns to their God and does that, and that's about the only unification and about the only true, you know, group out there that has any unity or any direction or any purpose. You know, the rest of these they're just all into their self-consuming, self-absorbed little spin bowl, you know. And when we see that out there, we realize that there's an awakening and a calling coming. You know, they talk about woke and all this kind of stuff, and that's just another lie. A lot of what they consider woke isn't woke at all. It's just another schism, you know. And you'll do it God's way or you're not going to do it. That's what we're coming down to.
Yeah, firewood is one of the other things that's going to be important too, and people, you know, all over Germany has been funny because fireplaces and wood stoves are going, they're almost unobtainable right now. People are building them, people are buying them, people are installing them. Everything from pellet stoves to wood stoves, to cook stoves, to you name it, they're putting them in there because their prices on their heating fuel are already, you know, they've already doubled in price, and now they're talking how they're not even going to be able to get it. So people are making preparations, and you know, that's something that everybody used to have that was pretty common knowledge. But there's so many people are just dependent on you know, either being able to turn up that thermostat, whether it's electric heat, natural gas heat, or you know, whatever it is, whatever they heat their house with, and it's a challenging thing. And you know, wintertime comes around, and there's a lot more than just staying warm. It's you know, freezing pipes and water and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely true, for sure. I was just talking to one of the guys that's around yesterday, and he said, "Well, I just priced propane," and he goes, "I think I'm going to get the chainsaw out." So,
yeah. You know, Tim, right here at the ranch, up on the top, up on the road, the little furniture place that makes furniture up there, this past week they had set it up, but they had a trencher and they were putting in 3,000 feet of natural gas line, tying into the natural gas line that's up there instead of propane. And I was talking with the guy that was doing it, and he said looking at it, it looks like natural gas is about half price of what propane is. You break it down per gallon and usage and all that, and if not less. And he said, yeah, that's what they were doing, was they were, you know, they were spending the money to tap into the line. Of course, they worked with the gas company, but renting a trencher and getting the locates and trenching the line and putting it in. He said he definitely wanted to get it in before winter. So, you know, again, those we are seeing those things, changes, and in a good way, you know, some people changing with it, reacting to it, not just ignoring it, not just saying, oh, well, that's the way it is. You know, gardens, the farmers markets that they've been having, I've been talking to people across the country, and the farmers markets are booming. You know, the people that are growing and taking stuff to the farmers markets many times are selling out what they bring, and the crowds are growing as well, and that's a good thing. It's good to hear that there are some that are looking more local, either growing it, raising it themselves, or supporting their neighbors that are. I think that's a step. It's a step in the right direction.
Up here, they're running gas lines out in the country where they never run them before. There's just a huge amount of gas lines going in and out in more what they call rural areas that they never used to use. So, something's changing. Unfortunately, the only problem with natural gas is, and it's good that they're thinking alternatively speaking, is if the power's gone, there's no natural gas either, because all the pumps are down, you know. So it's like, I don't know. I guess, you know, they have contingency plans available for that stuff. But it sometimes we have to think a step further as far as, well, I had a talk with an older guy when I was younger, and
they were. It's amazing how early they went to this centralized control of everything. You know, people don't want to be responsible for themselves. You know, they just want to get a bill in the mail and that's it. They're done, you know.
Right.
And when you hit a certain point in situations, in, I don't know if you want to call it survival situations or just bad times, you will be responsible for yourself. You will grow your own food. You will be your own warranty station. You will... you know, you're, if it gets done, you're going to do it, or maybe your neighbor who's your friend or something is going to do it. But otherwise, I mean, I know Jason and I were talking here a while, but it's finding help's just borderline impossible, you know, to find. And, it does seem, it does pass strange that you can't find anybody who wants to work or anything. I mean, you know, where are they all at? What's going on with that? You know, it leads one to ask, but there's a lot of things like that that I don't think we haven't had to think that way in our lifetime, really, have we? So there's some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, it's like they've become zombies, you know, to use the terminology of the day. Yeah, where are they? Where are these people? You know, everybody is looking for help. I've mentioned it before. We had to have the tire guy come out and do a tire service on the big tractor, what, a week or two ago, and the owner came out with one of his employees. You know, and in the tire shop they've got, I think, 3 service trucks, and when the owner has to come out. You know, he's got other things he needs to be doing for his business, and not out doing service calls. But when I talked to him, he said the last 4 people that he hired, they didn't even show up. He saw them, he hired them, ran the background check, and was going to put them to work, and they didn't even show up. And we see that all over. We've had restaurants closed down here in town. For various and sundry reasons, but, you know, more than one, more than several, and they can't get people to work. And then you throw, you know, what the buzzwords of the day, the supply chain issues and the massive increase in the prices of everything. And they don't. They've just closed down. Restaurants have just closed down. They can't get people to work. It's going to come to a head real quick. I saw this article from a 4th generation farmer. Okay, and this was from June, and it was a 4th generation farmer, John Boyd Jr. And his quote, a food shortage is coming. You know, this isn't from a Bloomberg reporter. This isn't from, an analyst or some 14-year college student. It's a 4th-generation farmer. I thought this was an interesting quote here. He said, for so long, we've enjoyed lots of food in this country, so we've never, ever faced a food shortage, and I think that's coming in the coming months. He goes on and says, farmers are the last person on the totem pole. You may not need a doctor or a lawyer today, but every day in this country, you need a farmer. And I thought that was pretty prophetic. Fourth generation, that means his, what, great-grandfather. And he's continuing on in it. And he's seeing the change. And this is just a secular, just somebody out there. We're seeing it time and time and time again.
That whole story backwards. The farmer's the beginning, and the rest is the end. And we've gotten a cart before the horse or something, but the farmer is the where it all starts. You know, the food comes, that's how it gets there.
Right.
And we've had it awful easy. And another thing that's really destructive is interest and usury. so many people have learned to live without working because they put their money in the stock market and stuff, and they got some pretty good nest eggs on paper anyway and stuff like that. But that the whole generation has been brought up by people that really haven't had to work very hard. But the point is, interest and usury has caused all this because they can live without working, and they get money off and other people's labor. Well, that's a self-destruct thing in the end, and I think that's a big part of what's going right to now. And, you know, the white people aren't having children either. That's a big thing. And then they're sending them to college and ruining them. And then they don't do nothing. You know, you got to have a college education. And I'll bet you a really high percent of them never do what they go to college for. And, you know, people that I've talked to, yeah, I went for this, but I didn't like it, you know. But, you know, they spent thousands of dollars to find that out.
Yeah.
That really don't make more sense.
So, very true.
Yeah.
It's kind of like those, and most of them went down and got college loans of interest. You're talking about usury, and then they took the median age on the repayment on those school loans is just incredible. You know, 40, 50 years ago, it was like 26, and now it's up around 50 years old, 51 years old, which is, yeah. But you got to have that degree to have a job. You got to have that. I mean, I was talking to one fellow the other day, and Richard was talking about tire shops, but he went down there. They were looking for help, and he asked them about getting a job, and they wanted him to have a college. They didn't really care what, but they wanted him to have college or a college degree in order to work in a tire shop on the floor out there.
Like, that's stupid.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You know, Tim, it's funny you mentioned that. I had a man on the ministry, very, very smart man, had come from Poland to escape communism, came over here, did very well for himself, married a couple children, and he told me years ago that very thing, that's one of the things that this Babylon does is that it, you know, to have a better paying job, and this was what he had talked about, to have the better paying jobs, that you had to have a degree. He talked about how his son and his daughter both, he got them through college, got their college degrees, and his son hired on with a very good company, nothing to do with his degree, but they required that he had a degree. They trained him what to do. You know, and that's what they told him. We'll train you, but you have to have that degree to get your foot in the door. And that's how this Babylon works. You know, it's a self-sustaining self-destructing, but a self-feeding. You know, it feeds itself. But I think the good news is you're seeing more emphasis, at least on those that will work, for the trades, the trade school, our local. Our local tech school doubling their enrollment, and talked to one of the instructors just last week, and he said that they're adding a ranch course, you know, not the animals, not how to take care of the animals, but the maintenance part of it, how the farm equipment works, how to fix the farm equipment. You know, welding and tractor electrical and things like that, and that's encouraging. We see that. What was the thing that was out a while back? Dirty jobs with who was it? Mike Rowe or who? I don't recall. I didn't get to watch it a lot, but you know there's work out there, and this tech instructor they do. We've had young men go through it here locally, but they do diesel repair and automotive. What is it, Jason? What do they call it? Body work or body restoral or something like that?
Yeah, basically they do everything from interior upholstery work to body work to gas engines to advanced diesel technicians. And I got one of the highest rated school in the country.
Yes.
And people come from all over the United States. Really, realistically, the world to go to this school for advanced diesel technology. And there's people that want to hire people out of this trade school. I mean, they have these job fairs, and I mean, they can have jobs. They at the end of an 8-10 month enrollment school, they can have a job, and there's companies all over the country that are waiting for students to graduate from this school so that they can hire them and put them in the workforce.
There are. This last instructor I talked to, he came out and got some hay. He's bought hay from us the last few years. And he said their last job fair, they had multiple employers seeking tech graduates they wanted to start paying them at $37 an hour, plus a sign-on bonus, plus benefits after 90 days, and it's about a $30,000 degree for 9 months. I mean, it costs a little bit, but they work with you on it. And the employers help pay that back, help you pay your school off. They don't say, hey, we hope the government will help do a little loan forgiveness. No, the employers do that because they're, at least the ones that are still hiring, they're wanting people that will work. And they know if you've gone through this, you got a little stick to it. You got a little grit that you can, not just say, oh, I'm a diesel mechanic or I can fix that upholstery, but you've stuck to it. But it's 9 months. The trades, that's what I'm requiring of my 18-year-old. My youngest son just turned 18, and that's what I let him know. You don't have to worry about college, but you pick a trade, and we'll get you through the trade school. It's work, but there's nothing wrong with that, I've seen that quote, and so many of our people need to realize that hard work is not the enemy. Hard work is not. We are meant, if you go back to the Bible, to do what? We're meant to toil, to work. And, when we get away from that, it's not a good thing. It's just not. Well, guys, wrapping up about another 5 minutes. Tim, go ahead. Was that you, Tim?
No, I think it was Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Well, another thing we got to do, the Bible says not to hold it with man's wages overnight. We got to quit taking the income tax out of their labor, quit stealing from them. They work, and then you give 40% to the government, that's theft. I mean, that whole system has to go. Because, that they take that money on you, well, it just controls you, because I don't think they need money to run the government anymore. They just print it. But that income tax is a very destructive thing to morale. When you work that hard, when I was young, you put in overtime and you get in the thing, you didn't get any more money because they took it all.
Yeah. That's Babylon.
True fact.
That's Babylon. That is.
And it never goes down.
No. Oh, they promise that it'll go down, right? But how long ago did we hear that? No new taxes. And then as soon as he's in, guess what? New taxes. Yeah. Somebody sent me something the other day. Said, violence is up, crime is up, you're going to get mugged if you go downtown, stock market's down. It's like we're living these country western songs. But the stocks are down, in the Americas, the Dow Jones, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, the S&P, down. Europe, Middle East, and Africa stocks, down. But guess what the Asia Pacific stocks are? The Nikkei and the Topics Index in Tokyo and the Hang Seng Index and the CSI and the MSCI Asia Pacific, they're all up. And I just wanted to mention that because we've been talking about it. Last newsletter had a short article somebody sent in to us, dollars, rubles, yens or yawns or whatever, and gold. And it's changes that are happening. Changes that are happening. Worldwide, not just here, but worldwide as well, when it comes to this money, this Babylonian money system. And I think it's just another part of it going down.
Well, that's part of it. You know, Russia's going back to the gold standard. China is too, you know. And
yes.
Do you think about that Zeke 38, you know, as I was thinking too, you know, China owns a lot of stuff here. And they're coming here because they're going to take possession of their property. And then that's when I think it all really blows up. Because they should have never been allowed to let the enemy have own property and do things in your own country. I mean, we've been sold out a long time ago. If you think them Bushes were good people, they're about as evil as they get.
Yep. Yes, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago. 16% of the 2021 real estate market was purchased by Chinese nationals in 2021. I think it was 16%, if I remember correctly. It's just insanity. Absolute insanity it is. And farmland, not just these aren't just houses and apartments, but farmland and commercial property. I mean, all over. And we've got people on the ministry in Canada that have told us it's been like that for 20 years. That they've got signs in Canada in English and Chinese, and have had for years. Because the Chinese are so prevalent in Canada, and they've been doing that, buying up. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Sure appreciate it, men. Great time of fellowship and a battery recharge, and praise to our Lord that He is in control. And we do want to invite you to church tomorrow, Remnant. You can join us starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. At scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live video stream, and we're planning on a scriptural review of the news there in a timeless pulpit truth and in a live message, talking about some current events and what's going on today. And so we encourage you to join us. We'll also partake of communion. And so we hope that you will plan on it. Take a little time out of your busy day, your busy week, and join us at scripturesforamerica.org. God bless. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating,